Now, as we talk about, I wanted to just kind of connect where we were. You know, we spent a few lessons talking about how to receive the healing power of God, and we talked about from Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh unto God must what? Believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we went along and we were basically saying that that particular scripture verse, God has never, you know, the Bible, let me put it another way, the Bible never sets out to prove that God is. He is. And so when it says that we're to believe that God, that he is, a more accurate way of saying that is that he is who he says he is. He is in Exodus Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord that healeth thee. So we come when we believe that he is that to me. He is my healer. He is my provider. He is the Alpha and Omega for me. He's the author and finisher of my faith. Can I get a little more volume here, please? Just a pinch? Or maybe my mic slipped. But we come believing that he is, and in this case, he is the healer to me. He is Jehovah Rapha. And he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So that means we've got to continually seek him how? By faith. And scripture in Hebrews chapter 4, what does it say? It says that we're to come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in the time of need. And so this word boldness, as we were sharing, is that boldness is based on knowledge. The more knowledge that you have, what does the scripture say? It says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And so we don't know everything. And so that's why we need to ever be learning. And that's not just information, that's revelation. And that God's revealed word is ever being revealed to us. That's why we need to pursue his word. And so we need to have boldness. And that boldness is based on the knowledge of the word of God. And you could also say, faith comes by hearing. And so when we talk about the boldness that we have, boldness is another word you could say is assurance or conviction or confidence. Well, you don't just get confidence based on information, spiritual. We're talking about revelation from the Word of God, where the Holy Spirit unfolds and reveals something in the Word of God, and now it's not just information, it's revealed to your spirit. It's rhema is another word that is used. And so when that happens, you know, we've all had that. We've had an aha moment. Oh my God, I saw something in the Word that I never saw before. The entrance of his Word does what? Bringeth light. That word bringeth light, that word light in some translations is revelation. I think the complete Jewish Bible expresses it that way. So the entrance of his word brings revelation. It brings a revealing of the word of God. And so this, as we were going on, we talked about how to receive the healing power of God and the different ways that healing is administered. But I want to focus this morning a little bit on just the redemptive realities of healing. And a lot of this, I go through it periodically just to feed my spirit. So this is more of not information, but the more we meditate upon it, it'll dawn on us. But I want us to turn over to Isaiah chapter 53 for a moment. Let's go over there and look at the first few verses. what was lost in the fall of mankind was secured through Christ. Now let's look at this in Isaiah chapter 53. And the first few verses, I'm going to read from a few different translations, but Isaiah 53 in the King James, starting in verse 1, it says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Talking about Christ here now. "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we did hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." The Young's literal translation actually is a more it's an accurate translation. But this, in verse 3, it says, "He is despised and left of men, a man of pains and acquainted with sickness." This word sorrows actually in the Greek, or in the Hebrew, actually means pains, and griefs actually means sickness. So he was, as this accurately says here, a man of pains and acquainted with sickness. In verse 4, continuing, it said, "Surely he hath borne our griefs," that word is sickness, "and carried our sorrows," pain. "Yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And then it continues, "All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." And you could go and cross-reference that if you wanted to. You could look at 2 Corinthians 5, 21. You could look at that also. Verse 7, "He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet what? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Now, let me read this verse 4 in the Young's literal translation. Just verse 4, it says, "Surely our sicknesses he hath borne." So in other words, when he said, "Surely our griefs," that, and here in the Young's, it said, "Surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he hath carried them." So here, he bore our sicknesses, and he carried our pains. So he was acquainted with sickness. Another translation here, this is the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, "It was our diseases he bore, our pains from which he suffered." And so here, and again, the same thing, the Rotherham said, "Surely our diseases he carried, and as for our pains, he bare the burden of them." And you can see, I mean, translation after translation. Let me read this in Isaiah, in the Young's translation, literal translation, in verse 10 of Isaiah 53. And it says, "And Jehovah hath delighted to bruise him, he hath made him sick." So God put on Jesus our sicknesses and our sins. They're paid for. Say they're paid for. They're paid for. I just have to take them and receive them by faith and do what? As Jesus was as a lamb with his mouth closed, we're to have our mouths open and profess what's ours. We're to say what's ours and continually say it and say it and say it and continually say it until we realize it. You're all too quiet in here. That's why we keep teaching this. Because when you're excited about it, you shout about it. And you get excited about it. Turn to John 3:14. John 3:14. Let's look at the New Testament a minute. John 3:14. You know, when I think about the woman with the issue of blood and the man with the palsy in Luke 5, the woman with the issue of blood and also the man with the palsy, they were not going to be denied. That woman who had a sickness, how many years? 12 years? Didn't get any better. Had spent all she had. She heard of Jesus. So she heard something. She heard something in her time and place that said, if you just come, he will heal you. If you just come, either touch him. So she must have heard something, because why did she touch him? She and her culture shouldn't have touched anybody. She was unclean. So the mere fact that she must have heard that if you just touch him, you will be healed. And when you think about it, think about the man who was let down by four and the woman with the issue of blood. There were obstacles in their way, wasn't there? The man that was let down through the roof was his obstacle and the crowd. So he couldn't get in. They couldn't get in to get in front of Jesus. So now they've got a roof as an obstacle. They had a crowd and a roof. Now, some of us would say, oh, man, I guess we'll just go home. I mean, that's just a real thought. I mean, you know, you think about it. He's on a bed. Four of these guys are carrying him. Now they got to tear a roof up. And they've got a crowd that probably yelling, stop that. And they're breaking up the roof. Debris must have been falling in the house. You just think about here. We're sitting, just think about this. We're sitting in this room, somebody breaking through the roof here. We'd all be looking at somebody going, like the master, right, with Martha and Mary. Are you going to stop this? Are you going to do something, master? Right? I mean, you know, people are people. People's you know, attitudes haven't changed. Flesh hasn't changed. So they're probably all looking at the master. Are you going to do something to stop this noise and this ruckus? They're breaking up the house. The scripture doesn't say anything. And yet that roof was an obstacle, and they continued, and Jesus was pleased. He was pleased. What pleases the master? Faith. That pleases him. Not all of our noise and disruptions and all of the stuff that matters to us. Faith pleases the master. And think about the woman with the issue of blood. She heard of Jesus. What was her obstacle? The crowd. And she couldn't get to him because of the crowd. She had to press her way through to get to him. And you know, you think about it. I know one time we were in Israel. I mean, well, forget Israel. Go down to New York, go down to Times Square and see if you can get around there on a busy day. I took some guests down there when Eddie James was here. I remember a couple of the singers from the Rhema Singers and Band. I said, they want to go to the city. I said, sure, come on. And Eddie James had left, and we jumped in the car, went down to the city, and they wanted to see some things. I said, okay, let's go down to Times Square. And I'm figuring it's an easy Sunday night. Nobody around. This is light. I was like, what the heck is going on here? You couldn't move. I mean, it was so crowded, it was like this. And I said, what the heck is this going on? So you had to push your way through the crowd. I'm thinking, now this woman is trying to press her way to get to Jesus. She had to be convinced of something, didn't she? She had to be convinced that Jesus was going to give her something when she touched him. He was willing. She heard he was willing. He would go and do it. And she had to have been convinced. There had to be such a conviction that I'm getting this. Nothing is going to stop me from getting this. Nothing. And the same thing with the man with the palsy. Because otherwise they would have given up. Nothing was going to stop them to get to Jesus. And I think the same thing. Nothing, I don't care what obstacles have come in our lives, what disappointments, what hurts, what things have happened in our lives, nothing should deter us or stop us from receiving and getting the promises of God for ourselves. Because they've been paid for. He wants us to walk in them. He wants us to live in them. We may have even missed it ourselves and not received when we should have. We all have. But we should pursue it like our life depended on it, because it was his life that paid for it. And if we don't, then we go to heaven not walking in the benefits that were paid for us, that redemption paid. You know, it's like that all expense paid trip. You go, couldn't be true. Just couldn't be. They're giving me a full expense paid trip around the world, and you sit there and question it and never walk in it. See? So we need to take what's ours. Did you get to John 3:14? And it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now look, that whosoever, say that's me, that's me, whosoever does what? Believeth. Whosoever believeth in who?
Him.
Should not what? Perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what? Whosoever, here we go again, whosoever believeth in him should what? Should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what?
Saved.
Now, for those that may not know, that particular word saved is a Greek word called sozo, S-O-Z-O. It may not mean anything to you. It means nothing. It's Greek to me. It's just a Greek word. But what's important, though, is what its meaning is. It doesn't just mean saved, meaning from damnation or going to hell. That's part of it. But what it does mean is it means to rescue from danger or destruction, to save. This is the other part. It says to save a suffering one, an example, one suffering from disease, to make well, to heal, to restore to health. So, and it also says to deliver from the penalties of the messianic judgment, which is just exactly what he's talking about. That redemption redeemed us from those messianic judgments. We are redeemed. We are who he says I am. I am what? A child of God. And that child, and because I'm a child of God, I'm redeemed. What does that mean? I'm redeemed from hell, and I'm redeemed from sickness. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, that messianic judgment. I'm redeemed from it. I'm redeemed from it. I'm redeemed from it. Glory to God. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. And the devil hates it. Because it's the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony that overcomes. And we need to keep that. He can't stand the blood and the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And keep whatever you've experienced in life, all the failures, you have been redeemed. And think about it, if I miss it and I leave this earth before my time, I'm still redeemed. Yes. I'm still healed. Yes. I'm still redeemed from sin. Amen. It doesn't change the word of God. Doesn't change it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're redeemed. And so here, verse 17, it says, so that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is what? Not condemned, not judged. Judged with what? Sickness, sin. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. So now Galatians, let's look at Galatians 3. 3:13. Galatians 3:13. We'll read a few scripture verses here. It says, Christ hath. What does hath mean? It's already done. It's been done. So in other words, when we look at Isaiah, where he says, we are healed, right? That's looking towards the cross. And here, when we look at Galatians, it's looking back at the cross. It's already done, right? So Galatians 3:13 in the King James, Christ hath, it's already been done, he's looking back at the cross, hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made what? A curse for who? For me, for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing, say the blessing of Abraham, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive this promise of the Spirit through faith. Let me read this. This is the Young's literal translation says, Christ did redeem us from the curse of the law, having become for us a curse, for it hath been written, cursed is everyone who was hanging on a tree. Let me read this from the a few other different translations. This is God's Word translation. Christ paid the price to free us from the curse that God's laws bring by becoming cursed instead of us. Thank God. Hallelujah. So he was cursed instead of me. The New Century Version, Christ took away the curse the law put on us. He changed places with us and put himself under that curse. It is written in the scriptures, anyone whose body is displayed on a tree is cursed. Christ did this so that God's blessings promised to Abraham might come through Jesus Christ to those who are not Jews. So they're mine. Amen. Healing is mine. Amen. And we don't have to wait because it's been paid for. I don't have to wait to receive it. Yes, there are administrations. The gifts of the Spirit may be in operation. But you know what's interesting? I read something in Doug Jones' book on healing. I thought it was a very interesting point that he made. He said, there's only one account. He said, a lot of times people come in a healing line to have hands laid on them. And if they don't feel something, they don't think they got something. And he said, let's look at the scripture. He said, because feeling something is an exception, not necessarily the norm. Now, he said, let's look at the scripture. He said, there is only, and he made a good point here. It's not that the gifts of the Spirit don't operate, and they do operate. He said, but you as an individual that have hands laid on you, or you laying your hands on someone, most times may not feel the power of God flow out of your hands. And you may not, most times, feel the power of God flow into your body. But it did. So he said, let's look at the scripture. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. He said, that is the only recorded account where Jesus, where it was documented by the Holy Spirit, where Jesus felt virtue flow out of him, and she felt something flow into her. He said, that's the only place in Scripture. So when hands are laid on you, if you feel something, wonderful. If you don't, you receive the healing power of God. And what pleases God? Faith. We operate by faith because his point was, if we're only going to receive based on what we feel, and if we didn't feel something, so I guess I didn't get something, then we're walking by feelings and not faith. See, we need to learn some things. Because a lot of us have thought certain things, and these are ministers that have been ministering in this area for 20, 30, 40 years, and he writes in his book that this has been a problem he sees in healing lines, where time after time people think they didn't get something because they didn't feel something, and they walk away saying, I didn't get anything, and they lost out. Praise the Lord. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Talking about in Christ, we have redemption. It says, for all the what? All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. By who? By us. Now, sometimes the King James, it's not how we speak or how we understand things. But let's read this. I like the more modern translations. The Bible in basic English, it says, for he is the yes to all the undertakings of God, And by him, all the words of God are made certain and put into effect to the glory of God through us. Hallelujah. The New International Version says, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God." We affirm the amen. We receive the scripture. We receive the promises as amen. What does that mean? So be it, to the glory of God. So we ascribe, we release our amen. So be it for me, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. It is so. It is so. Healing is so in our bodies. Every disease, every germ, every virus not written in the book of this law is a curse. And so I add this, therefore, every disease and every germ that touches my body dies instantly. In what? In the name of Jesus. Because his name is above every name. So in the name of Jesus, every disease and germ that touches my body dies instantly. I forbid it. What things soever we forbid, heaven forbids. Whatsoever I allow, heaven allows. So I've got a part to play, and I can release my faith. And that's why I appreciate when I hear testimonies of individuals that have year after year after year after year after year made professions of faith, said something. You know, I remember when I was, after I got saved, I said something negative. And I reaped it. It didn't happen overnight. And I didn't know what I know now. But I was saved. Now, as a matter of fact, I wasn't. Well, let's see. Was I saved at that time? No. See, it doesn't matter whether you're saved or not. You say some negative things, you'll reap it. And so after I got saved, something negative happened. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "You've been saying that for how many years?" And I went, "Oh, Jesus." It made me shudder because I had been saying something negative about something and I reaped it. And it didn't happen overnight. It took a number of years, but I reaped it. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the what? The fruit of it. So we need to watch what we say. You know, you've heard this even in the natural. You know, sometimes when I hear little things, you know, in the news, just think about this. I heard this years after it happened. What did Michael Jackson say? "I won't live to be 50. And he said it for years. And he said it to Priscilla. She was the one that actually revealed it. Priscilla Presley. After they got married, she said, "Well, when we were sitting across the table in a quiet time, he said, 'I'm not going to live to be 50. And he was just saying it. He never did. Because his words moved him to do things in life to fulfill. It was a what? A self-fulfilling prophecy. So we need to watch what we say. And what we need to say is every promise of God is yes, and we add our amen to it, our so be it. So if what we're saying is contrary to the word of God, we need to change it. We need to change course, right? We need to change course. Change what we're saying. And I just say, you know, if God, he said, I wish above all things that you what? Prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So I'm prosperous.
Yes, Lord.
You may have no money in your bank account. You may be broke. You may be struggling. But you need to say what the promises of God are. And keep saying them until you realize it.
Yes.
Don't stop just because you're walking through something. Always remember, you could have planted some seed that might be causing some of the things that you're experiencing, or it can just be life.
That's it.
It can just be life that you're walking through. But guess what? Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. His word is greater. His promises are greater. And we need to just be determined that I'm going to walk in the blessings of God. I'm going to please him. What does it say? It's impossible to please him without faith. So I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to live this life by faith, come what may. Come what may. Because God's pleased by our faith life, our faith walk, our faith words. What does it say? It says, our amen, and it gives glory. What does it say? It gives glory to God. Our amen, or our so be it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at a few more scriptures just as we close. Let's look at Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless what? His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do what? Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth my life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to bless him. If you've got to whisper it, hallelujah. Proverbs 3, let's look at that. Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall what? Direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now let's stop here. This is conditional. He says what? Fear the Lord. That means reverence the Lord. Give him honor and reverence. Fear the Lord and what? Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So when we do these things, our health will be healthy and feel strong, as one of the translations say. Hallelujah. Let's look at one last scripture here. Let's look at Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 20, it says, my son, Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and what? Health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, when I think about, just reading the testimony from Jaque, you know, Jaque was born with a condition in his body. He was born that way. But he's had to walk through some things, and even walking through those things, you've got to embrace the Word of God. I don't care what you're walking through. There may be some medical things that you have to do and some treatments you have to receive, but you hold on to the scripture like it's your life.
Yes.
Because yes, the doctors may help. I'm not saying they don't. That's also, you know, we need to make sure, you know, don't just go in the other ditch. Don't get any help. And then you be shipwrecked. But he had to walk through some things, and you embrace, hold on to the word of God, and things will turn, things will change. His word is greater than your body. Your body is what? Mortal, temporal. His word is eternal, and it will change this body. Yeah, we're not going to live eternally. But this word, the same spirit that raised Christ's dead body from the grave, dwells in me. And since he does, he's what? It says he quickens this mortal body. What does that mean? He gives life. What kind of life? Eternal life. Zoe life to this mortal body. This body's got to respond. It's got to respond. It's got to respond. I've lived it. My body has had to respond to things. It has to. Glory to God. That's why Brother Hagin, when he said to that woman, okay, you're sick, get well and then go home if you want to. Because the word will heal your body. It'll strengthen your body. That's why some of those old saints could say, when we read about Joshua and Caleb in their 80s saying, I'm as young as I was 40 years ago, let's go do it. Let's take the land. Now, here's another thing to think about. God gave his children, the Israelites, he gave them the promised land. He gave it to them. But they had to do what? They had to take it. He gave it to them. So in a way, it's kind of a picture of what we've received through redemption. It's already been paid for. That land was given to them. All they had to do was go in and take it. But there were some of them that said, oh no, we can't do that. You know, that's no different today. Oh, no, we can't do that. That's too hard. We have to add our amen to it. We have to receive it and go in and do what? Conquer through what? The word. Kick this stuff out of our bodies. Kick it out of our houses with what? The word. It's no different than the Israelites had to do. They had to go in and conquer those, what, oppositions. They had to do the same thing. No different. Here's the difference. We got the greater one living in the inside of us. He reveals to us how to do it. They had to have a pillar of fire and smoke to guide them and lead them. And they had to have those who were selected, the prophets, and those that were a selected of God to tell them what to do. We've got the Holy Ghost living in us. We got the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've got a better covenant established on what? Better promises. Why? Because we're redeemed. We're the redeemed. Say, I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed by his blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is Lord. And the devil is defeated. And I've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. Hallelujah. I'm delivered. I'm redeemed. And I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you this day for revealing in an ever greater measure, watering that which we've known, revealing in a greater way to us that which we've known. And thank you, Father, that we're going to walk this walk in this earth and overcome the obstacles that have been in our way and take the promises of God. Take the prosperity that's been paid for. Take the healing that's been paid for. And we thank you that our bodies are strong. We thank you that our bones are moistened and strong. We thank you that we're bright and our minds are illumined in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. We thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He has no place in us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I would just say this, that when your hearts are stirred like this, Jesus, wherever he was, where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst. If he's here, then the healing power is here. Then you need to just reach out and take what's yours. Take what's yours and do what? Receive it. And say, that's mine. I'm going to walk in that. It's mine. I receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Bless your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.